I'm John Batchelor with my good friend and colleague, Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We've established that there are a number of fires around the world. I'm focusing on Nepal because it's fresh and exotic. I've never been to Nepal, but this is Kathmandu, which was a fabled destination when I was a young man. The bus to Kathmandu. The news is alarming. 19 people in two cities dead. Nepal's worst riot in decades. Police in the capital fired tear gas and rubber bullets at protesters trying to storm parliament in anger at a social media shutdown and corruption. They throw that word corruption in there, Gregory. Perhaps social media is the trigger here. In other words, cutting off the screens of Meta and other social media sites. But something more has to be driving this. The youngest men, boys in the streets running around without any particular order, police chasing after them without any particular order. At the same time, this is the capital, I believe, and I'm seeing streets where weeds are growing through the cracks. I'm seeing litter everywhere in the streets. What's happened to Nepal? Has it fallen off of China's to-do list?
Well, it was never really on China's to-do list from the point of view of making it a model state, you'd think would have been an obvious thing for them to do. The Chinese have been very careful about confronting India in Nepal. They've given recognition to the Maoist government of Sharma Oli. But it's interesting that even the prime minister's residence was reportedly set on fire in the last 24 hours there. So Sharma Oli is really an icon of the protests as well. The question is, you know, is this the end for the communist rule in Nepal? As I said, it started very much on the downhill slope when King Birendra was killed in that famous incident in the palace in 1991. He and his wife and other members of the royal family were killed. And his brother, then Prince Gayanendra, basically took control and became king. And now King Gayanendra may well have been behind the regicide of his brother, but King Gayanendra went into more and more trouble until the communists took over in about 2008, which is when the monarchy ended. So until that time, Nepal was not only it was never a wealthy state, but it was a model state in terms of self-respect and dignity. It was very poor, but essentially clean and orderly nation, and people took a lot of pride in their history. The Gurkhas, for example, were well known as mercenaries who worked for the British government, the Indian government, the government of Brunei, and they were in a regiment in Hong Kong and the like. They still form a significant part of the British and Indian armies, and then they send back remittances, which are the foundation, if you like, of the Nepalese economy. So it's a tragedy to see this downhill slide, but it basically coincides with the arrival of unremitting communist governance since that time. It's going to be difficult for either India or China to intervene, although both clearly wish to do so to further their position in that region.
Does it favor either Delhi or Beijing to have trouble in Kathmandu?
At the moment, I think it favors New Delhi, but that's hard to say. It certainly doesn't favor the Maoists, and obviously they are the vehicle of Beijing. It's difficult to say, but the question is what we see coming over the next few days. Will Sharma Oli come back as prime minister, or will they find a new prime minister there to basically reshape the country? If he's going to do anything substantial, he will have to literally appeal to the youth of the country, as you say, because they are the ones who are not yet captive of either the Indians or the People's Republic of China.
When they complain about corruption, what are they talking about?
Well, I think in this case, I think it's particularly egregious when the Maoists came to office basically blaming the previous, the Ancien Régime, the monarchist, for having a rich crown and a poor population. But what we've seen is that the crown was very modest in its spending, and we found that the communists really boosted their own lifestyles through massive corruption. So I think the fact that these so-called men of the people have been seen to be corrupt in Nepal, and it's not just there. I mean, I think it's the same anger which people have against governments in the United Kingdom, in the United States, in Canada. You've got a billionaire now in office in Canada. You've got a billionaire in office in the United States. Although, in the case of the United States, frankly, he's been very much the voice of the working man. But there is a great tendency, and I think we've seen it in the past few decades, for these modern so-called democratic leaders to all leave office.
Let's go to London. There's an example there of what you're talking about. Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,